will be imposing tariffs on steel imports and tariffs on aluminum imports.
President Trump says new tariffs on steel and aluminum are coming next week. It's Friday, March 2nd, and this is VOA Asia. I'm David Byrd in Washington. Remember, you're a part of our program. Join us on VOA Asia Facebook. Also ahead, China reacts angrily to U.S. legislation that would increase business ties with Taiwan. We'll meet the co-founder of a magazine aimed at Asian Americans, and it's Oscar time. How have protest movements affected the film industry? That's all on today's VOA Asia. U.S. President Donald Trump has announced new tariffs on imported steel and aluminum products, a move he said would boost the U.S. economy and help national security. During a White House meeting with top executives from U.S. steel and aluminum companies, President Trump said the tariffs of 25% on steel and 10% on aluminum products will be in effect for a long period of time. He said the measure will be signed sometime next week.
So we're bringing it back, and we're going to bring it back relatively rapidly, and we're going to be instituting tariffs. Next week we'll be signing. Perhaps some of you folks will be here. When you have Nucor, when you have U.S. Steel, you have the great aluminum companies represented at this table, and they've been decimated. Aluminum has been decimated in the country.
Trump said Thursday that U.S. steel and aluminum industries have been decimated by decades of unfair trade policies with other countries. He vowed that other nations would no longer have an unfair advantage. The president said that a series of what he called disasters had hurt the U.S. economy while boosting the economies of other nations, including China.
The NAFTA deal was a disaster for our country. The WTO has been a disaster for this country, for our country. In fact, the rise of China economically was, if you look at it, directly equal to the date of the opening of the World Trade Organization. It has been great for China and terrible for the United States, and great for other countries, but terrible for the United States.
The president's announcement sent stock prices lower on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 1.7%. Automakers led the downturn, with Ford and General Motors stock prices slipping. The S&P 500 fell 1.4% to 2,677.28. These are among the top Asia stories trending on VOAnews.com. A pro-American rally in South Korea denounces North Korea appeasement. After the Olympics, South Korea mulls reviving a bulldozed forest. China's top paper says reform does not mean lifelong presidency. Pakistan vows to wholeheartedly further Afghan peace effort. And Papua New Guinea quake toll rises. Expanded coverage of these stories and more is on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the VOAnews.com website. You're listening to VOA Asia. I'm David Byrd in Washington. China on Thursday told the United States it is strongly dissatisfied with legislation awaiting President Trump's signature that would promote closer business ties between the United States and Taiwan. The U.S. Senate approved the Taiwan Travel Act Wednesday by unanimous consent. That follows a similar move by the House of Representatives in January. The legislation calls for officials at all levels to travel to and from the United States and self-governing Taiwan and to meet with their respective counterparts. It also encourages Taiwanese economic and cultural representatives to conduct business in the United States. William Sharp is the host of the online program Asia in Review and recent visiting scholar at the Institute of Taiwan History at the Taipei-based Academia Sinica. He told VOA's Victor Beatty that he is not surprised at the quick negative reaction from Beijing.
Well, I can tell you, after just coming back from China and interviewing a lot of, you know, Chinese analysts of one sort or the other, they're all very upset about this Travel Authorization Act, as they are upset about the possibility of a U.S. aircraft carrier pulling into Kaohsiung Harbor. Yes, it will bother them. It definitely will upset them. Just what they might do in, as a countermeasure, I think remains unclear.
How would you describe the U.S.-China climate right now?
I think it is tense, but I think the U.S. has shown a lot of patience in its relationship with China and tried to develop the relationship in a very reciprocal, cooperative way. But that doesn't seem to be the way that China wants to go about this relationship. So there is pushback. There is growing pushback. I think you see attitudes in Washington beginning to question the way in which we've approached our relationship with China and looking for something a little bit, maybe a little bit more hard-nosed.
How would you describe Taiwan-China relations right now?
Oh, not very good at all. Since Tsai Ing-wen became president in 2016, she has refused to accept the 92 consensus. The 92 consensus essentially says that there is one China. China should relax and realize that Tsai Ing-wen wants economic development. That's what she's after. She wants a cooperative relationship with China. She's not going to go out and seek independence.
William Sharp said that although the U.S. and Taiwan have not had diplomatic relations since 1979, the relationship has strategic value. He said should mainland China ever take control of the island, the Chinese Navy would have direct access to the Western Pacific. We're happy you're with us on this Friday. I'm David Byrd in Washington. We want to introduce you to a young woman who has co-founded a media company that aims to raise the profile of Asian Americans. VOA Asia's Skylar Ogden spoke with entrepreneur Katarina Jung, who started Slanted to celebrate Asian American identity through storytelling, using first-person narratives on editorial topics ranging from food to mental health to politics. Jung tells Skylar about her vision, motivation, and the business of launching a magazine.
Tell me about the name Slanted. How did you come up with that name?
Very controversial name, which is interesting because when we first came up with it, we didn't think it would be that controversial.
Yeah.
But we basically brainstormed, had a really long brainstorming process, but a lot of our names ended up being too cutesy or food-centric.
Mm-hmm.
And we settled on Slanted because it has so many different meanings. The most obvious meaning to most people is it refers to a derogatory stereotype. So what we want to do is reclaim this word and turn it into something beautiful and empowering and really take back our power and our ability to tell our own story.
Give us a sense of some of the first articles in the issue of Slanted.
So issue one, the theme was beginnings. So whether that's the beginning of you thinking about your own cultural heritage, it could be the beginning of your relationship with your parents, which is something that a lot of first generation Asian Americans struggle with,
mm-hmm.
creating a loving relationship with their immigrant parents. So we have stories relating to parental sacrifice, food, and how food acts as a bridge between cultures. We have a couple on mental health and how some of our contributors overcame mental health issues. And there's also poetry, illustration, and photography as well.
Interesting. So is each issue going to be based around a certain theme?
Yes.
Okay.
So issue two, actually submissions closed today, but the theme for issue two is going to be light and dark.
To see Slanted Magazine, log on to slanted.media. And you can see the entire chat between Skylar Ogden and Katarina Jung on our Facebook page, VOA Asia. Sunday night, the 90th Academy Awards will recognize the best films of 2017 in 24 categories. Movements such as Oscars So White, Black Lives Matter, and Me Too have helped bring about change, in the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. They've allowed more voting members from minorities and women. As VOA's Penelope Pulu tells us now, one result of these developments is that audiences and critics might see the Oscars distributed more evenly to cover a wider racial and gender breadth this year.
A surprise. surprise breakthrough at the Oscars last year when the indie African-American drama Moonlight appended the favorite all-white musical La La Land. This trend in racial and gender inclusiveness is expected to continue this year, says Giovanna Chesler at George Mason University.
One of the things the Academy has done over the years is it's increased its membership amongst a more diversity of actors, performers, and screenwriters, and welcoming them into the voting population of the Academy's 7,000 members.
As a result, among this year's nominees are African-American films such as Dee Reese's Mudbound, about a decorated African-American pilot returning from World War II into the segregated South.
Mudbound, Dee Reese's film, is being recognized in the categories of screenwriting and acting and cinematography. The first woman cinematographer ever to be nominated in 90 years is Rachel Morrison from Mudbound.
Another one is Jordan Peele's Get Out, a horror film with a comic edge about modern white supremacy.
With Get Out, there's incredible momentum. Same with Black Panther, amongst its primary audience that said, this movie matters because we want to continue to see ourselves represented on screen. We want to support African-American storytellers.
The hashtag MeToo movement also is reflected.
Something cracked open with the MeToo movement and the Time's Up movement that followed. Perhaps the films that are nominated somewhat reflect that awareness. About half of them that feature women protagonists, women in lead roles who really are influencing the direction of the film.
One of them is actress, screenwriter, and director Greta Gerwig behind the coming-of-age film Lady Bird. The film, about a mother-daughter antagonistic, albeit loving, relationship, has received 5 Oscar nominations. While the dark satire, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, showcases Mildred, an angry mother played by Frances McDormand, who will stop at nothing to challenge the local police for not doing enough to catch her daughter's killer.
Nature has cunning ways of finding our weakest spot.
This year, we also see Oscar nominees dealing with same-sex and gender issues, such as the character drama Call Me By Your Name, about the passionate love between two young men in the early 80s, and the Chilean drama A Fantastic Woman, about a transgender woman whose life is upended after her partner dies.
We see a lot of risk-taking happening in the nominees in the international categories. And Fantastic Woman is one of those films. The performance is exceptional, and she will be the first trans person to present an award at the Academy Awards. We have another trans director nominated at the Academy Awards this year, Nancy Ford, who's nominated for Strong Island.
Bullet through your heart, and know you will never see your sisters again, your mother, your father.
Chesler adds, it will take time before we see an equitable and open Hollywood. But with every passing year, there is hope that more women and minorities in front and behind the camera will be telling their stories for the large screen and receive equal representation at the Oscars. Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Washington.
And have you seen any of the Oscar nominees? I have to confess that the only one that I have seen out of the 9 films nominated for Best Picture is Dunkirk. Find VOA's complete coverage of the Oscars, who wins, who loses, and if there are any surprises, including the envelope being the right envelope for Best Picture, on our website, that's voanews.com. You've been listening to VOA Asia. You can get our program on iTunes and on SoundCloud. Download our podcast and take VOA Asia with you. You can find us at voanews.com. And be sure to let us hear from you on VOA Asia Facebook, or you can send us an email. Our address is voaasia@voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, and to our engineer, Aiden Oku. I'm David Byrd in Washington. Enjoy the rest of your day.